on Twitter at FFLarryMonkey. And tonight's a special night because we don't have the salmon t-shirt tonight. This looks like we have the, yeah, it's like a, it's a royal blue, maybe.
It's very bright. It's very bright.
Solid tea on the couch as usual, as always. Yeah, nice little mini house behind you there. Is that a little playhouse?
Dude, there is a playhouse in our living room.
At Run DFF, Justin Rogers!
Woo doggy! Yeah.
Giddy up.
Oh, man, I was telling you before, I had a long day driving today. I had to drive down to New Orleans to deliver a sofa and drive back, which was like an easy day, but not easy. You know, because when you spend 6 or 7 hours in a vehicle, it's like, it's exhausting just to sit there. So I'm glad to be on the couch stretched out a little bit. What do we have, like a 10th annual appearance here?
Hey, man, it's one of our favorite guests in the world. He's the Gridiron Scholar, John Lobb at Gridiron School 91. Welcome once again. Good to see you, my man.
Good to see you. I think this is like our sixth year, but the time goes by so fast at my age, I forget. But it's great to be back with you. It's draft season, obviously. That's what gets us together, our love of the game and breaking down these prospects. So, you know, and by the way, Justin, I've been driving many a day. I got some crazy stories, but I'll keep those. We got to talk football.
Speaking of driving, didn't you just get your car stolen recently, Johnny? What happened over there?
Right out of my driveway. What? We got our car stolen. And it took 2 months for the insurance company to declare it, what are they, unsalvageable or totaled, I guess. I don't know what the legal term is. So, yeah, then after 2 months waiting and, you know, it's hard because obviously if you don't know, there's been a lot of stolen vehicles of the Hyundai. We had a Hyundai right out of my driveway.
You got,
because I walked out of my house. It was a Thursday morning. And I look in my driveway, I'm like, oh, where's my fucking car? But, you know, I have my daughter, she has a car, my son has a car, and my wife took the dogs for a walk the night before. So I thought maybe, you know, it's parked on the road or something. You know, we live in a working class neighborhood. Everyone's got a, you know, houses are pretty close together. I'm looking up down the road, no fucking car. I'm like, shit. My car was stolen. Like, I'm like, what? Yeah, that it was a long ordeal, but we got something new now. Not new, we got we bought a used one. Cars are crazy expensive right now, so we found a good deal on a used car, you know, 30,000 miles, so it wasn't so bad. But yeah, so we finally got something. But yeah, it was a crazy time. It's about three months by the time it was all done.
Oh man!
Well, you make sure you park this Rolls Royce in the garage, all right?
And you know what's the worst part? I have three Huskies, and I told them you have one job, and that was when someone's in the goddamn road, and you didn't even turn on driveway, and you didn't do it. Like the one thing they had to do: no barking, nothing.
Now at least you weren't in the car when it was stolen, and maybe someone will get you the club for Christmas or something this year.
I actually do have a club for our new car.
I was gonna say, I got one in like the side compartment of my truck that's just been staying in there. I could ship it to you, man.
Oh, here, I have a question for Justin about his long trip, and then we'll get into the why we're all hanging out tonight. Rifle under the cars, the seat of the car, the whole drive, or no?
No, I do not. I do not pack a gun in my truck because the last thing I want is for a gun to disappear out of my truck. That's the worst, man. I can tell you right now that if you have 10 people that have guns in their car, that 9 of them have had a gun stolen at some point in their life from their car. If they've lived for any amount of time, it's insane.
There you go. That's a Mississippi living right there.
Out of a vehicle. It's the most targeted thing is guns.
That's what you take out of someone's car. You're just good to know.
Yep.
All right.
Don't do it. Speaking of stealing, tell me this trade, Larry, so I can help you steal that 110 and T. Higgins.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Here we go. So this is a 12-team, two-point tight end, super flex.
This trade is brought to you by the Patreon Yeah. You can find this on Patreon, Dynasty Hot Sauce Podcast, $3 and $10 tier, folks. Yes. Come and join our Patreon and chat, and you can hear about these trades all day long. Continue with the trade, sir.
Great. Love it. Love the plug. The trade goes like this. We've got a T. Higgins or the 110 or Treylon Burks and Dalton Kincaid. Mind you, two-point tight end.
So T and the 110 for Kincaid and that dumpster.
Treylon Burks.
That I took to the street this morning.
Right. Current ADP for, according to the Dynasty Trade Calculator, Xavier Worthy is going at the 110 in a super flex.
What do you think, John?
I want the T. Higgins side.
Me too. So first, I know Larry does not want that side because he loves Dalton Kincaid. But Dawson Knox just re-upped there basically by restructuring. That means he's staying for at least a couple of years because he's pushed money into future years. Do either of you guys think that T. Higgins really gets moved? Or is this just a typical I want out of here thing because he's franchised and they end up working it out?
I think they work it out at least for 1 year. Saquon, Josh Jacobs. I expect him to be a Bengal. I think that's why they moved Nixon or let Mixon go. I think they're freeing up a little bit of money. You can replace the running back. They might even like Chase Brown more than, you know, what I – and I like Chase Brown, but they know more about him in practice than we do. We saw him limited action last year. But they might be very comfortable drafting a running back and going – that they're not going to win with their running game. They need a running game, everyone does, but they're not winning it. They're winning it with Burrow, Higgins, and Jamar Chase. I mean, that's right. How they're going to get back to the Super Bowl.
Larry, are you on board with that? Do you think that they work it out in T stays for a year?
At least? Selfishly, as it pertains to this deal, I have Jamar Chase, so I'd like T. Higgins to be traded somewhere, but I'd still be okay with him being on the Bengals because it's a heavy volume offense. As far as parting with Kincaid, I'm almost okay with that because I have Mark Andrews, Dalton Schultz, Sam Laporta, just waiting in the wings there.
Well, then you almost have to because Kincaid doesn't. It's just depth.
It's just
extraordinary amount of depth.
It's really just dumping a Treylon Burks share.
Is well worth it. I was a Treylon Burks guy, but man, he's pretty buried on the depth chart now.
That should be two usable pieces for one, basically. Two very usable pieces. Because I'm high on Xavier Worthy, and we can get into some of this later. But
I took that deal. Now, same league, I have an offer for Josh Jacobs or a 25 first. And he offered it. Now I have three 25 firsts. He offered them. He'd offered that Jacobs for two of them separately.
So what I know it's like impossible to say where is this 25 first going, but you could still kind of look at a roster and be like, okay, there's that player can do something with that.
Yeah.
Or this team has no shot. In general, if that's a no shot, first, then give me the first. But you are trying to compete, right?
No, I mean, I drafted. This was startup last year that I drafted a young team and a heavy tight end. I got in a lot of the rookie tight ends. So there was I just took advantage of that 2 point and I just went bully tight end, and I have some of them to part with now. But, I finished – this is league I had three first-round picks, and I traded them all for Chase and Gibbs.
Oh, okay.
And now I've since traded – I'm back in the first round, but now I have two first-rounders. But I've always had the 25 firsts. I've had three of them.
Wait, are you saying that they finished as in, like, fourth place and seventh place, or they finished with the fourth pick and the seventh pick?
Fourth pick and seventh pick.
No, I couldn't do it.
So it's Jacobs and, like – two mid 25 first, lower.
And they want one of them. Like they send an offer for each of them and let you choose.
Yeah, it's a Jacobs or a 25 first.
Either way, I think I would hold.
Yeah. I'm not going to jump all over that Jacobs hype. I don't know. I mean, he's awesome in there. What are your thoughts on Jacobs?
I like Jacobs in Green Bay. I think if I was going to win a championship, I would take Jacobs. But if I can't win a championship, I don't think I want a player. With I say if we get 2 years, we can't look beyond 2 years at any running back anymore. I mean, if you're not, I mean, even Bijan, what do I think? 3 years? That would be, I mean, how often? Look at what happened to Barkley. I mean, I drafted Barkley in a dynasty league, still have Barkley in a dynasty league. Yeah. He hasn't been worth the pick that I paid for him. You know, he's been nice. He's been up and down, but he hasn't played a full season since his rookie year. So, I mean, if you're looking for 2 years out of Jacobs, and that is if everything goes right, nah, give me the picks. Give me the picks, because if you went bully tight end, you're not ready to compete yet. That's how I would think. I could be completely wrong. But if you went bully tight end, it seems pretty hard to be competing until you get more pieces.
Yeah, no, I have some big pieces from some trades I made, but I still don't have a full lineup. I need some quarterbacks.
I need the running back last in a dynasty league. The last piece is my running back.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're waiting a year or two. It might mean that you're waiting till September and be like, looks good. Let me make a move. Because these are 25 firsts, so you don't have to spend them now. We see this question a lot. Like, should I go get this player? It's like, look, you have a long time to make decisions on your roster. It's March. You know, like, there's a lot of roster movement to be.
We also know that first round picks gain more value as the closer the draft. So the 2025s are worth their least amount now because you're projecting it 15 months or 14 months away. When you're in October of next year, And people are starting to think about the players in the draft, they're worth more, you know, and they might be worth less or more to you depending on your position in the standings. So the value of the in your mind will go up and down. There's no way I'm trading a 2025 for a running back. I mean, knock on wood, he gets hurt week one. I mean, we've seen it, just he gets hurt in training camp. There's just so much. Why take the risk when the Pandora's box of the pick is so valuable and it can't get hurt? The pick cannot get hurt in training camp. It cannot get blindsided by a linebacker week two and his ACL snaps. The pick is always healthy. The pick is 100% healthy until next April.
That was, I feel the same way. Declined both of those. Yeah, man, I'm a picks guy. Jacobs, I've Jacobs in one league. Yeah, he's great. He might do well, but he's been in the league forever, man. He's got some wear and tear on him now. And I know he's still young, but still, who knows? Who knows? He's a running back. And if you can get something for him now, then go for it.
Larry, if the guy really wants to unload Jacobs, he'll come back to you and say, give me a second. Second, I'd have to give it consideration. First, I can't. It's just too valuable.
Yeah. So it's funny that these running back trades are flying right now because the running backs in free agency were just flying. Why are all these running backs flying around here? I mean, you're the rookie big board, the co-host of the rookie big board. Check that out. When you have a chance, that's a great show. What can you tell us here? If all these running backs are flying around, what does that tell us about these rookie crop of backs coming in?
I think we have to understand the dichotomy between fantasy and reality. If you're a coach, you have to win games to get a paycheck.
You got to do it
now.
You
have to remain, win games to stay on the sideline. Anyone who's ever played or watched football for over 20 years, running backs matter. There's just no question about it. Yet, we also know that you can find quality running backs for your system and scheme later in the draft. Shanahan's are excellent at doing it. The Saints found a guy in Alvin Kamara who wasn't an elite college player, but a very good traits skilled running back. We also have created somewhat a myth with Tom Brady that even any running back you can plug into the system. The entire problem with that myth is you have the greatest quarterback who ever played the game. Anything or anyone who worked around Tom Brady, it's a myth because Tom Brady was the best who ever played the game. That's why the running backs were good. That's why New England was good. It wasn't because they found someone. It was because Tom Brady used them. Tom Brady got first downs. Tom Brady put points on the board. Tom Brady did the work. The running backs matter. They do matter. What I think has happened, what we're seeing, is coaches and organizations know they must have a running back. It is very hard to win a Super Bowl without a decent running back. And again, the myth of Patrick Mahomes. First off, Andy Reid is very good at organizing a running game. From Brian Westbrook, all of his running backs, he's always had success at the running game. But he has the best quarterback by far. No one's even close in the NFL right now. Well, what does that do? That makes Isaiah Pacheco a valuable piece. I don't think Pacheco, Larry, you're a Jets fan. Is Isaiah Pacheco doing what he's doing if he's a New York Jet?
He'd probably be still in the practice squad.
He'd be on the practice squad. But I think what's so when we talk about these narratives, you can't separate the player from the team. That's just absurd. What I see that is happening, you have organizations who understand the importance of the running back. That, hey, I've got to have a running game. I don't remember so much depth at the running back position in free agency. We literally have running backs who are still in their prime. Josh Jacobs, we were talking about him. I think he's 24. He is relatively still in his physical athletic prime for a running back because he came out early from Alabama.
The guy's been in the league forever.
He was 20 when he came to the league, and he feels like he's older than he is. But he doesn't have a ton of wear and tear.
No, he just turned 26.
He doesn't have a ton of wear and tear. He can play at least 2 years. Knock on wood, anyone can get hurt at any time.
Sure.
Yeah. Saquon Barkley's got 2 years. He's a dynamic pass-catching back. The Chicago Bears just told you, you know what? We need pass catchers and offensive linemen. What I'm going to do is I don't like Roshon Johnson, Khalil Herbert. I'm going to bring in a stud pass catcher. Because if I'm bringing in Caleb Williams, I've got to help him out. And I'm a big believer. Running backs are like pitching. You can't have too much pitching in baseball. You can't really have too much depth at the running back position. Not with the number of injuries that we see on a regular basis. I think we had almost 60 quarterback start games. I would love to know how many running backs last year got over 15 carries in a game. I bet you the number's astronomical. Well, what does that tell us? You better have depth at the position. You better have depth at the position. If you don't have depth at the position, you're in big, big, big trouble. So I think didn't the teams get a $30 million salary bump? Wasn't there like a significant salary?
20 extra million, from the expected. So they ended up with went up $40 million.
Yes. So what do you do? You spend up some of it on a weakness. Coaches want running backs. They're not fantasy owners. They're not bean counters. They want wins. They want running backs. They need players who can run the football. You got extra money. You got a lot of talent. So I think that's what's going on. Get back to Larry's question.
So
the running back class is good, but there's no North Star. There's no Bijan. There's no Breece Hall. There's no that one guy or two guys who you are absolutely convinced are stars. What you have in the running back class is a lot of good players in the right scheme, in the right system, can be productive players in the NFL. You go get one of them in the third or fourth round.
And see, I think that's exactly what players wouldn't do, yeah.
What'd you say, Justin?
That's exactly what it feels like teams are going to do. It's there is no first round, or there may not even be a second round running back in this whole thing.
But now that's an interesting question. I have second round grade on two guys. I do think maybe one will get picked, but I expect the third round to be the rush.
Who are your two guys that you've got that second round grade on? Are they the expected names?
Well, I got Blake Corum. I don't know if that's expected, but I have Blake Corum. And I have Jonathan Brooks.
I've heard really good things about Jonathan Brooks. I've been listening to
I do understand the challenge with the injury, and I get why I'm I would not be surprised if there are teams that do not have Jonathan Brooks on the board.
Right.
They might literally just stay away from Brooks as a prospect. He's 20 years of age. Limited wear and tear. You have to project Brooks 2 years from now. I think that all the talent is there if the medicals check out, right? We do know that doctors and different organizations have different medical reports on guys, but I like Brooks and Corum. I think one of them might. Now, there are guys you mentioned are the right. Look at Trey Benson, people like. I'm not as in love with them as others. But there might be a team that can't resist the speed and the size of Trey Benson. I get what the tantalizing athletic ability. I don't have that much confidence in him because the tape doesn't tell me that.
Is there any news on Jonathan Brooks and whether it was just a straight ACL or was there more torn in there? Has anybody heard that? I know college doesn't really disclose a lot of that, but I was curious if anybody's heard anything.
Well, I was listening to a podcast, and they know someone who's a doctor on the Cowboys. The doctor is the same doctor that did the surgery for Jonathan Brooks. They believe that it was a clean surgery, that he should be back by the end of training camp. So there's rumors that it was a very clean and they cleaned it up well.
Nice.
So the good news is that an NFL doctor did it with lots of experience. I think at worst they put him on the PUP list. I mean, I sure hope they don't put Jonathan Brooks on the field from day one. You know, he's only 20 years old. I think he might be 21 when the season kicks off, right? Let him heal up. Let him learn the team. Let him get around the team. Let him learn the playbook. Strengthen that knee, then bring him back in 2025. Yeah, it would be 2025.
He's going as the first second running round? Back off the field
right now. Yeah, he's going to be a
second round usually. Am I correct? Is his ADP second round in a dynasty draft?
I believe that's correct. He's the first or second running back coming off.
Yeah.
He and Blake Corum are kind of the
two.
Yeah, he's going off 14th pick overall. First, he's the RB1, 14th overall. Next running back is Trey Benson, 17th overall.
Well, so Trey has jumped Corum lately.
This is just current. This is how
I'm
using Dynasty Trade Calculator ranking. They pull their stuff from like specific ADP.
I'm definitely not as high on Benson as other people. There's no question about that.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but what Justin just said, is there truth to the combine kind of giving these guys a little boost up the?
What do you mean by that? I don't understand. What do you mean by
an ADP? Do you think the combine affects ADP?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Right. I mean, I've been watching these guys since last summer. Trey Benson, Blake Corum. I have not. Jonathan Brooks caught my attention by mid-September because he started out hot for the Texas Longhorns, and I had him in college fantasy football. So I started to break him down, and he was rising up the rankings and all that. Most people, we're like the hardcore, right? We're hardcore. We love this thing. I'm still amazed when I listen to people, and they're like, "Oh my God, Like, they're literally seeing them for the first time. Right. Literally seeing them for the first time. Or they wait to see some athletic score. So, yes, Justin, I do believe that the ATB moves up because there are just people who have not watched them. Now, I have slight movement. I have to be – it's a new data point, right? Data points matter. But I'm not moving someone from 12th to 1st because of an athletic combine score. But I can move someone from 6th to 5th. Sure. I can drop someone from 1st to 3rd. Does that – if that makes sense. Slight movement.
Yeah, I think it moves more in NFL circles than it should in fantasy. Like, I think that guys like Trey Benson can really boost their NFL stock with, you know, a 4.39 40.
Yeah, the best thing I ever read from a GM, and it was Ernie Corsi, who was on the Browns and the Giants and around a long time, said, if you don't draft size and speed, you're going to end up slow and small. Right. And you know what? NFL teams cannot resist that speed size combo. Yeah, I mean, and I get it, right? Put
216 and runs sub 4.4 at running back. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I understand, because if you're an organization, if you're a coach, you know that you need the big boys out there, right? It's like the defensive lineman, you know, if he's running a 4.58, he's 295 pounds and 6.4. You know, you got to take them, right? Like, you just see the – and you believe, your ego says, I can coach him up to be a better football player, right? I can't make a 6'2", 270-pound lineman 6'4", 300 pounds.
Sure.
But I can take that big guy and make him a better football player. And that's part of the process, right? And – so when you see a Benson, people are going to say, I can teach him vision, or I can teach him the things like the pass catching, he can get better. Things that you might not love from a football aspect, but you think, look, I can teach him those.
So I guess, you know, Larry kind of touched on this with his question, but to elaborate a little bit more, is what's happening in the free agent market an indication of how teams feel about this year's draft? Where the wide receiver market is dry. Like, I mean, there's just not that many. Calvin Ridley did get a massive contract, and Pittman got an extension, but it's not been as on fire as it has been in previous years. And then the running back market has been just crazy. You know, guys getting signed. Now, not huge contracts, you know, but they're all getting 3-year deals. It's not a bunch of 1-year deals.
They're getting better than last year.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, Dalvin Cook got nothing. Larry knows as a Jet fan, Dalvin Cook turned out cooked. No pun intended. So they were right not to give him money. Right. I mean, the NFL was actually correct on their assessment of Dalvin Cook last year. But there was no other really great running back. Okay, yeah. I'll say this. The league has changed so much. And I've been watching football for over 45 years at the NFL level. You've probably heard it if you're old, and you probably read it or heard it if you're young. It used to take 3 years for a wide receiver to click,
right,
to burst. Well, I've been saying this for a decade now. If you knew what was happening at the high school level, at the middle or even the lower level, whatever middle school is, these kids, these players have been throwing the football at camps and drills since they were 12 years old.
Yep.
It's not like Larry Knight went to football. It was run, run, run. I mean, literally when I played, we threw the football 5 times a game. Might have completed 2. These kids are throwing the football at the age of 12. Then they go to high school, and you look at some of these numbers, they're catching 200 career passes in high school. Then they go to college, and they're catching another 150 passes in college. They're used to enter the NFL with 50 career receptions. Well, right. What does that mean? I need a lot to learn. What the NFL, and the NFL is a bunch of smart people with money and spreadsheets. They finally realize that these kids can play wide receiver from day one, and they're dirt cheap. The best contract is the quarterback. We get that under the rookie deal. But you know what they're telling us? The second best contract is the young wide receiver under the rookie deal. Look at what the Vikings got out of Justin Jefferson for that rookie contract. Now they're going to have to pay him or lose him. But you don't think the Vikings got their value worth? You don't think the Bengals have gotten their money worth out of T. Higgins and Jamar Chase? That is gold, people. That is absolute freaking gold. The NFL is saying, look it. We can bring in this guy like Jordan Addison. Look at how good Jordan Addison was. What do you have, 900 yards and 9 touchdowns as a rookie for the Vikings last year?
You know what? How about the folks that were like, oh, man, I'm gonna fade Jordan Addison because of Justin Jefferson. This was the same thing that happened to A.J. Brown and Corey Davis.
Yeah.
You know?
Same thing that happened all over.
Jefferson leaves the Vikings. It's like it's going to be the Addison show then, right?
Yikes. And plus they had different skill sets. Like the thing that's crazy, Larry, Addison is the big play over the top. Quarterback scrambling, second option, single coverage deep. He's going to kill you. Jefferson's the alpha. You feed Jefferson. And then, bam, before you know it, your safety's cheating and Jordan Addison's over the top. There's this simpatico at the wide receiver. You can't have three T. Higgins. You can't. Anyone who's doing that, they're not putting together the wide receiver room properly. You need different skill sets amongst your wide receivers. You want players with different attributes and traits on the field. I literally think Addison is the best duo for Justin Jefferson with his skill set, especially with Hockenson. Knock on wood, if Hockenson's healthy. I mean, that helps. That hurts a little bit. Look at what those Chiefs did. They won a Super Bowl with Rashee Rice. How cheap? Rashee Rice's contract must be a comedy act. He was a second-round pick. Look at what they got. The Rams got out of Puka Nacau. I think NFL teams are finally seeing the rainbow. I can save a boatload of cash at the wide receiver position. And ironically, we think the wide receiver position is the strongest since 2014. So you have two things working here. You have really smart bean counters who are saying, guys, we can get stud wide receivers for nothing, literally nothing. We can pay a wide receiver to get 900 yards, and we can pay him less than $2 million a year. Let's do it. So what do? We switch from the wide receiver position, because I would think any smart team has allocated funds for positions and value and how they perceive it. We move the allocation of money from wide receiver, we move it to running back. Because we just went through a disaster at running back. We could not run the football last year. Mm-hmm. We've got to run the football. You've got to run the football. I mean, people, it's nice to say running backs don't matter, but they do matter if you coach and if you love this game. So I think that's what we're seeing out there.
What do you think of Jarrett Guarantano this year? He's going to take the Broncos all the way to the promised land, or because him and the Jarrett Sinner are the only two quarterbacks on the depth chart over there. What do you think?
They might not be on the team in week one. You guys can't play quarterback? Please. Really, are you kidding me? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Who's the Denver Broncos quarterback? Who are you rolling with, man? You're the Broncos guy, right?
It's either J.J. McCarthy or it's Drake May.
Whoa, you think the Broncos are going to take a quarterback?
Oh, without question, without any question.
And both of those guys are going to make a move. The Broncos are going to make a move to snag a QB.
They have to.
Wow, it's
not an option. It's not an option. They literally have to. You can't. Just look at the depth chart. I don't even think those.
I was. That's why. That's why I was. That's where my Jarrett Guarantano joke came from. It's him and Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah. I didn't know where you were going with this, so I was a little confused. It wasn't on the outline.
Rough to look at.
You didn't give me the outline with that question.
I was just started thinking about you and the Broncos.
The Broncos don't have as much time as we do to get to our rosters together. You know, they got to make decisions a little sooner, but they still got a little bit of time to figure out the QB situation. Let's get to some of these. Let's talk about some of the class in general. Do you like a class like last year that was tight end heavy, had some strong running backs, or do you prefer a class like this year with the massive wide receiver prospects and a little bit more top heavy with the quarterbacks? What kind of class do you like?
Fascinating. It's fascinating because we know the results of last year.
Sure.
Right? So that's a cheat code. I would be shocked. Take out the quarterbacks. You're right. So that's the problem. I'd be shocked if the wide receivers and running backs are better this year than last year's. I mean, you look at the wide receivers from last year's class. It's silly. That's why teams are going to go wide receiver. They're cheap. Zay Flowers, cheap, right? Yep. Every one of the guys, they're all cheap going down. They're costing teams nothing right now. Where's my list? Where do I have the 2023 wide receiver list? Because I was looking at it the other day.
You got Jordan Addison. You had JSN and Quentin Johnston were in there.
Who's the worst? Josh Downs. Jaden Reed, Rashid Rice, Andre Iasovic, if he gets a little play, Puka Nacua, Nathaniel Dell. I mean, look at the people who made impact. That's true. Crazy. Crazy.
It feels like, but to me, it feels like, and you know, this is 20, hindsight is 2020, but it feels like they made an impact for their teams. But a lot of the top guys weren't fantasy impact makers. You know, Zay Flowers was okay. JSN was disappointing. You know, Jordan Addison had some really big games in there, but wasn't consistently able to contribute. You know, obviously Puka was the anomaly and the outlier of all outliers. And, but you know, yeah, Jaden Reed, who came on strong at the end of the season, but none of these guys really just blew up except Puka. Whereas we kind of expect Marvin Harrison to be that guy from the jump, right? And for me, I think
yes.
And then the same thing for me. For me, Neighbors is right there as well. I don't know how you feel about Neighbors versus Adunze.
I have Neighbors number one.
Okay.
I have Neighbors top of them.
Yeah. I'm Neighbors really high on Neighbors as well. I don't think there's much difference at all between the two of them, but that's me personally.
All these guys have it's all about the big hype that comes into it. And then it's like, you know, what would the last year's draft be if we were to redo it? Would it be the same way? No, it's you know, you'd have a whole bunch it'd be a whole different first round. So all this hype is fun and stuff, but yeah, you take shots at guys and it's a roll of the dice. You know, next thing you know, I end up with Tank Dell and Puka Nacua on your team, and you might add a shitty first and second round pick. But you know,
you could have ended up with two of the best picks in the draft, and you got them in the third and fourth round. Like Tank in the third and Puka in the fourth kind of thing.
I would bet you there are guys, people, dynasty players, who could have easily drafted like JSN in round one and literally gotten Tank Dell and Puka Nacua in rounds four and five.
Yeah, they could have gone like an easy one would have been like JSN, Zach Charbonnet. They could have gone that one and two and been so disappointed with those two, but then you get Puka and Tank Dell, and you're like, what a great draft I had, you know? Yeah,
what a great draft! I knew all along.
I mean, if you're quick in the chat, Eddie wants to know what the Vikings going to do at QB. Can't be Sammy Boy, right? So Sam Darnold is slotted to be the guy in Minnesota. That can't be.
I think they're in a race for the Broncos. They're playing chicken. Both teams are playing chicken. I mean, unless they love Bo Nix or someone that I don't have a first-round grade on.
Right.
But I think there's four first-round quarterbacks. You got Denver, Minnesota desperate to get one of those guys, right? I mean, how can they not want one of those players?
The Commanders are probably in that bunch as well. Obviously, they're already there in position to make that. And then the Patriots.
So, let's just take a little detour right now. What do you – We have some Patreon questions, Justin, right?
Patron questions.
Now, you've noticed there's been a couple of folks in the chat, and we don't broadcast this show on YouTube. This is a podcast. If you could become a patron, you can listen. You could be a part of the show via the YouTube link, so you're watching it as if we were live on YouTube. We're only live on YouTube for our patrons. So join the Patreon. Ba-dum-bum. Patreon question number one. How do you like working for Matt Kelly, a.k.a. the Podfather? You just recently transferred from one frying pan into the other one. Tell us about it.
I went from the football diehards, who I'd actually been with for 30 years or more. I think it was 32 years.
If you're reading a magazine, if you're on your way to your fantasy draft with your buddies, if you're going to a live draft and you stop and you pick up a magazine, no matter what, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to be getting Johnny Lobb's analysis, and that's going to be guiding your draft, because you've been out there forever. I'm not implying that you're, Gandalf the Grey, everyone following your advice. How are they going to follow your advice now this football season?
And yeah, unfortunately, health problems for the publisher. So he's taking a year off to help himself get healthy, and that I needed to find somewhere else. I ended up the guy Theo, I've been friends with Theo for a long time, reached out to me and said, we'd like to offer you a position. I got lucky. I had four people who reached out to me. I interviewed with all of them, chose the player profiler, got to speak with Matt Kelly. I was on one of his shows. I was on one of his podcasts years ago, so I had met him once before. But I got to interview him. He's been great to me. I love their site. I love the team that I'm with. So it's just been a wonderful opportunity. Sometimes change can be very good. First it's a little weird, right? We had a certain way of doing things. I've been doing it the same way for a long time. I've adapted already to how things get uploaded and what they're looking for and how they do stuff. And that's great. And I'm meeting new great people. So I'm very happy. And he's a great guy to me. I obviously down lower level of pecking order, but he's always been very pleasant to me. I love the team. It's a great, great chance, great opportunity.
Well, you are at the top of our pecking order. There's no bigger pecker when it comes to Johnny Bob, right, Justin?
I really want to keep this going, but I'm blocking
over here. Where's the segue, man? Look at that elbow. I mean, Justin's got some chickens in his backyard, John. But all I see is some chicken legs in this video right now. I can't kick my eyes off him.
Look, I'm trying to move them around. I'm over here stretching my legs because I'm all stoved up from being in the car all day.
Was it like old? What are you, like a box truck? How you? Got the pickup? How's this work?
Yeah, it's my pickup. Yeah. Gosh, I hope I never have to drive a box truck.
How many bungee cords did you have going on this couch?
Get the hell out of here with bungee cords. If I see people going down the road with bungee cords on stuff, I automatically know they've lost shit off the highway. Like, they've lost shit off their truck. It just is.
All right. Here you go. Ready?
Ratchet straps or nothing. It's ratchet straps, baby.
Okay. Which class do you like more? This one or the 2023, and why?
Well, I did answer a little bit, but I never actually finished. Justin asked me that, and I started it. But
oh shit! Okay, let's see if we'll match this up. We'll match up. Maybe I came up with the same answer.
I think I do like last year's class better, but I think this class has been underrated and undersold. There's quality here. The quarterbacks are solid. I don't know if we'll have a C.J. Stroud. We might, but C.J. Stroud is not normal. I don't know if we'll have a Sam Laporta. That's not normal. I don't know if we'll get a Puka Nacua and a Rashid Rice. That's not normal. So to expect in the dynasty fantasy world to have that replication of stars, Like, and I'm not even talking Bijan, Devin Achane. Like, I'm literally like there, and we've talked about the other receivers. I just can't see it now. Doesn't mean that one of these wide receivers doesn't go out and get 1,100 yards. But what did Puka end up with, like 1,500? That's not happening. Yeah. I don't think.
He set the record. He set the rookie receiver record.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Right. Yeah, to expect that every year would be stupid.
And LaPorta was unbelievable.
Have you, John, ever painted your face for a sporting event?
Have I what?
Ever painted your face for a sporting event?
No. No.
Oh.
I stand alone still. I stand alone. I've done it several times. I stand
alone. He's done a full body.
I do think that might be generational, though. You know, in the 80s, when you know, and I've seen football, but no one painted their body or face in the 80s. I don't think I ever saw that till the 90s. So it's really relatively new. I mean, someone from my generation, you know, just was not something we did, saw, thought about, at least in the Northeast. I mean, I can't speak across, but even when I watch football games on TV, I don't remember seeing
the body paint.
People with their face painted.
Interesting. Right. I mean, this is like a 30 for 30, the origin of body paint at sporting events.
I probably went to the Jets, Giants, and Patriots games over 30 times in the 80s. And I don't ever remember seeing anyone with their face painted.
That's interesting.
Well, now it's just a thing, you know, like every.
Yeah, every I mean, what I guess I would say this. If I was probably 21 years of age and I was on a college campus like Alabama, Georgia, LSU, USC, there's a good chance I might paint my face. But I'd have to be young and be at one of those, like, real exciting games, right? Mm. Like, it'd have to be like, holy shit, this is great. USC, under the lights, Notre Dame. Like, that type of atmosphere.
Hey, are we out of the COVID cloud for these college guys?
This is the last big group. You know, it's funny. I was just doing college fantasy football rankings. There's a guy who's entering his seventh year of college football.
Yeah, right?
He had like
just got granted that year.
So Brandon Whedon went back to school?
Well, yes. No. I was looking into it. He had a red shirt, a medical red shirt, the COVID. Then he transferred out or something. Like, he's literally entering his seventh year. He should have a master's. Like, I bet you he doesn't even have a degree yet, but he's going to play his seventh year of college football.
Look, he may not have a master's.
This is about the end.
He may not have a
degree. He's not a pro.
He's not a pro prospect. Yeah.
Grandchildren.
All right. So, where do you think Justin Fields should? How do you feel about Justin Fields on the Jets? And I only say this because we're clearly going to lose our starting quarterback to the vice presidency of the United States.
No. To running for the vice presidency, because ain't no damn way JFK Jr. and Aaron Rodgers are actually winning.
You don't think there's 100 million people that like Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think there's 5 million people that would vote for him.
Holy crap. It'd be hard to get on the ballot and get 5 million votes on that one, but what do I know?
He'll get on the ballot just because of his running mate, because JFK.
John Lobb is also, he has a great Twitter. He's a great Twitter follow, but sometimes he comes at you with the politics. I love it. I'm on board. I couldn't wait. I was like, you know what? This is nice that we're having him on, because he's a history teacher. How often do I get to talk to a person of this level of intelligence about a starting quarterback that could be potentially on the ballot for vice president of the United States? Well, I mean, what are your thoughts?
It's not my time go card. I'd be talking about an active NFL quarterback running for vice president. That was not on my lifetime 50 square bingo card. It was not quarterback runs for the vice presidency while he's playing. So, hey. I mean, I will say third party candidates, historically, they're disruptors, not winners. That's right. The historical reality. They're disruptors. They change plurality. They change the outcome, the electoral, but they don't win it. No third party candidate has ever won a presidential election, but they do impact it. They can impact it.
I want to give my thoughts on this just because who cares? I just think this is a big whatever. I think he Rogers likes to be in the media. He doesn't even know what he's getting himself into in New York City. Like, I mean, this ain't Green Bay. You know this, John. This isn't Green Bay, Wisconsin. He has no idea what he's got himself into with this. Number one. Number two, it's clearly was just like, hey man, we're friends. He's obviously friends with this guy. RFK was probably like, listen, bro, just like whatever, go along with it. It's the off season. I swear to God, no one gave a shit about any of this until now. The entire football world, who has what 100 million viewers worldwide, now has put this bullshit on the map. I just figure. Rogers doesn't give a shit. I think he's not in the middle of the like jungle somewhere right now on a vacation.
He might be, but he's taking those calls from Robert and being like, all right, let's see what we can do out there. Yeah.
This is just a big ploy. I mean, they would have squashed it day one, I think. I have no idea how Jets brass lets this go on. This is just another – just another, you know, God, I was such a fan of Joe Douglas. Oh, and he just really disappointed the last couple of years. It's really
fun to see you so frustrated about this, Larry.
Suck, man. I hate to spoil my John Lobb appearance by running my mouth about the Jets. So I'm going to shut the hell up. But whatever, man. I know.
Do you guys really think this is real? Like, do you think that this is
possible? We're living in a different dimension.
He actually runs with RFK and actually gets on a ballot and does some political stuff all summer long. Like, I just, man, I can't imagine.
No, I don't.
With all the talk about returning so quickly, this would basically be putting his career on pause.
Well, you know what? What happens when all this goes down? If something were to happen, if it'd be Tyrod Taylor's third in line to the presidency now. This right?
That's right, the VP depth chart. Yeah,
you know what sucks is that, you know, he's getting in his cabinet. He's gonna bring on Cobb. He's gonna have all his boys back. Lazard's gonna be in the cabinet. Bring my Mercedes Lewis, all his boys.
Eddie Lacy can be
Eddie Lacy.
He can be over the Food and Drug Administration. He just eat everything.
Oh God, goodness. Anyway, whatever, man. Stinks. Did we get everything we wanted to get out of Johnny Lobb? What do you think, Justin?
You know, we've held him hostage for a while. He needs to get back on the campaign trail.
Did we get all the listen, man?
The other thing we didn't ask was when we were talking about prospects, and are there any red flags on prospects in general? And do you see any in this class that like just says, oh gosh, I want to stay away from that player, especially at their cost?
Well, I think there are some red flags at the running back position. I mean, so each position has, let's say, different red flags that I'm looking at. Now, you have to take out outliers because they do occur. And one very simple measurement that shows over a long period of time is like BMI for running backs, body mass index. Devin Achane kind of blew that out of the water, yet he didn't play 16 games.
Yeah,
so there's still some truth to the BMI, right? Can he take the pounding? Could he even stay healthy? So we don't know yet. But he was incredibly impressive. There's no question about that. But the BMI, to me, when you're too low, so I remember – just this year, people at one time, they were talking about Jawar Jordan running back out of Louisville. But once I saw that his BMI was 26.5, I was like, okay, I want a benchmark of 30. So 26.5 is way too low for me to feel comfortable with a player who I wasn't in love with in the first place. Mm-hmm. So for running back, that's kind of a simple one. I think most draft scouts and analytics would tell you BMI does play a factor. Now, as an example, Jalen Wright, we never talked about him. He's 29.3. Now, that's only 0.7 below my benchmark. So, like, he's within what I would call the margin of error. I'm sure. Okay with 29.3, right? I mean, it's so close. If he gained 3 pounds, he'd probably be at the 30, right? So, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, where's he? So, CRB4? Where's he standing? RB2? RB2. Jalen Wright. I love it.
Yeah.
Just Wright, like RB2. Most things, it doesn't have to be a black and white line. Like it can blur it. From like that's yeah. One thing that people get really stuck on is thresholds and whatnot and these solid black and white lines. So yeah,
it's not a solid one. So there is room for error in the statistics, right? Yes, 30 looks like, but people have succeeded around that number. Now, wide receivers, the one that I've been attracted to more and more over the last 3 years. Is receiving yards per team pass attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at a benchmark of 2.5. As an example, Malik Nabers has a 4.2. Marvin Harrison has a 3.22. Malik Nabers is better than Marvin Harrison in that statistical, just one statistical category. But that's kind of opened me up to Nabers, and I love the fill. That was 4.2. Is pretty crazy what Malik Nabers did. Like, that's insanity. But here's some things that really scare me and why I'm lower. And again, this is not the only stat, but it's a red flag for me, which says I'm going to lower him in my rankings. I'm very low on Keon Coleman.
Really?
And part of it, yeah. His receiving yards per team pass attempt is pathetic. 1.62. It's terrible. Also, what scares me about Keon Coleman is his ADOT, 12.4 for a home run hitter. That's not very good. So when I see those types of numbers, another guy that I'm not, but I understand why people like him, but Adonai Mitchell of Texas, his ADOT is his receiving yards per team pass attempt, 1.78. But then he has an ADOT of 16. So you have to kind of judge, right? They're throwing him deep down the field, but he doesn't catch the ball. So what does that mean, right? So that's why I'm lower in the rankings. Like, I don't want discrepancy in those two numbers. Does that make sense, my friends? Like, I'm not looking... And here's why I love Javon Baker. I'm beyond excited about Javon Baker.
Javon Baker was mentioned last week by EK Baller, our last week's guest, host of the Debbie Dose and a team writer for Dynasty Nerds.
He's my number 7 receiver. Receiving yards per team pass attempt, 3.11. That's unbelievable. Yards per reception, 17.5. Holy smackaroni.
Right.
But here's where it all ties together. His ADOT, 17.1.
Golly, he's catching air. He's getting everything downfield. Yep. Yep.
And he's getting catching
those quality targets. Yeah.
Those are high quality targets, Justin. He could go 5 targets, 4 receptions for 68, 70 yards and a touchdown.
Right. And you got 17 points out of that or whatever. Yeah.
So hold on.
Yes.
This guy's like the wide receiver 16, the rookie in DTC. Like, I mean, is this a guy? I was going to ask you, who are some guys that you're not going to leave your rookie drafts without? Like, who are your main targets?
I haven't left. I've done 6 mock drafts, right? Because I do all these. I don't like to use the term, but expert drafts, but lack of a better term. But industry drafts. I've not left one without Javon Baker yet.
Nice. Oh, look at that one. That's a hot take.
All in on Javon Baker. Like, I have Javon Baker ahead of Keon Coleman. That's just how much, like, I can't believe how early Keon Coleman goes. I'll take Javon Baker all day long. Because the numbers are ridiculously silly, folks. Plus, did I tell you he's 6'1", 208?
Got the size too. Yeah.
He's not gonna be like a Mingo, is he? You know?
No, he's Larry, tape can be subjective, but his tape so much better than Jonathan Mingo's. It's not even close, my brother.
Right, right. I just thought, I feel like they're the same. No, no,
I think that's a fair question, Larry. Right. It's a fair question, but like, it's not like Mingo's tape was great. Mingo's tape was overrated. He's just a big player. But let me tell you a guy you can get in the fifth round who I think is going to be an impact player. And I don't understand why no one's talking about him. So I'm driving the train.
Drive it.
It's Luke McCaffrey. Guys, get over the name. Look at the numbers. Stop it, folks. I don't understand the son of Ed McCaffrey, 3 Super Bowl winner, 1,000-yard receiver. Mm-hmm. The brother of Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And no one's talking about him. And I'm being objective. Look in the model. Luke McCaffrey. My last data point was, how athletic is he? Now, he's obviously athletic, right? His mom's was a Pac-12 volleyball player or something. His dad's a 3-time Super Bowl winner, his brother, right? So you knew he was athletic. But I'm a non-believer until I get some numbers. Does that make sense, gentlemen?
Yeah.
At the combine, Luke McCaffrey ran a 4.46. He's 6'2", 198. That's incredible. But here's what made me love him even more.
20-yard shuttle. McCaffrey.
Yes.
20-yard shuttle. He ran 4.02. My benchmark is a 4.2. He smashed the benchmark. Then in the three-cone drill for a 6'2 athlete, he did a 6'7.
He's no DK Metcalf.
No DK. And here's the thing. He played quarterback. He was signed at Nebraska. He played quarterback for 3 years. He's only played wide receiver for 2 years. Get him a little NFL coaching.
He's got the pedigree.
He's going to go in the fifth round. He's going to go in the fifth round. Someone's just going to take the name.
I was going to say, how do you not take the shot? You know, the fifth rounder, the guy that's going to, I mean, you know, he's got his brother and his dad. You know, he's not going to be one that's not going to try.
Not going to walk out of the league.
Yeah.
Right? He's not.
Right. Yeah, he's going to be.
My model loves him. He's not perfect, but I do understand he only played 2 years at wide receiver. 2 years.
Wow. This is a nice late round. Last pick in your rookie draft. His name's going to appeal to a lot of guys in rookie drafts. You're going to take a stab at him in the third round just for the heck of it.
Harry, going in the fifth round. No one wants him. I just took him the last 2 drafts in round 5.
That's crazy.
All right.
I don't understand. I've never seen so little discussion. Larry, you just said you had the ADP. What's his ADP? I bet you can't even find it so low.
McCaffrey, he is the wide receiver 24. He's buried behind Jamari Thrash, Burton, Jacob Cowing, 21, Jalen McMillan, 20.
Let me tell you this right now. Thrash, Cowing, and Burton are out of the league in 3 years, if not 2.
I like it. This is some good nugget.
Cowing is 165 pounds from Arizona. Please. Everyone, he's not Nathaniel Dell. No, he's not. So I just love McCaffrey. The value's there. It's just staring you in the face. And what do you lose? What do you lose at the fourth or fifth round dynasty pick?
That's true.
And this is what I think. Now, not the same player. What my ceiling would be I think he's going to be a Tyler Boyd in the NFL. And if you're in deep fantasy leagues with flex positions, Tyler Boyd is a very nice fantasy player.
Serviceable flex, bye week guy. Dude, that's going to go. And where's he going to end up? Hello.
Well, that's, I mean, so I'm going, if I get Tyler Boyd in the fifth round of a fantasy draft, I'll take it every day forever.
All right. Well, I know that Johnny Lobb's got to go. He needs to check on his car to see if it's still in his driveway. where do you, but quickly, I mean, where do you, who's the quarterback for the Broncos again? Just because you're the Broncos guy?
Why, Jared Stidham's the guy on the depth chart right now.
Like if
Jerry Guantanamo or something like that is.
So do you, I think that's you got a good memory. But Jared Stidham, what are your thoughts on him? I mean, you know, he's going to work with the offense. Well, maybe you got
him. No, he's a career. Jared Stidham is a career backup. Ideally, he's a third quarter. Yeah. If he's your third string and you're down to your third string, you're like, okay, I could do worse. You can't go 17 games with Jared Stidham at quarterback. I mean, there's just no way you can do that.
Get rid of your Jared Stidham shares ASAP. According to the
We've already dropped them all onto the waiver wire, Larry.
Oh, no, you have to get out.
They're all on the waiver wire.
All right. We'll let this guy go. We're going to do it. Johnny Lobb, we always like having him. Hey, what are you doing for the draft? What, you got NFL draft? You got any draft night plans? Because, you know, we have our annual party-thon. Our big
I know draft. I haven't made any plans yet just because of the way life is, and I'm trying to figure out my profile series. But I will, if you hit me up about a week or so in advance, then I'll have a better idea. But I just haven't made, I got to see where life is going. You always got family, right? There's always family,
of course. And I'll drop you the link if you can pop in for a round or two. That's cool. End of the draft, beginning of the draft, middle draft, doesn't matter. Man, we got a good lineup.
Are you on all weekend?
Joe, we're just, guys, just the first night. We're just going to blast off with the first round.
First night. Okay, got it.
Yeah, not sure about the rest of the weekend, but you know what? Let's get this guy out of here. God dang nabbit. Dang nabbit. Did I do that right, Justin?
Dang gummit.
Dang gummit. The Gridiron Scholar. Man, he's a fantasy football content creator. Co-host on the Rookie Big Board. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Dynasty Hot Sauce Podcast.
One, two, three, four. Larry Monkey and Justin Rogers talking Dynasty Football, baby.